Welcome back to another edition of Talk Nerdy to Me. I am your host, Troy Stegner, and I have a very special guest on the line with me here today. It's Jason Liebrecht. Did I pronounce that right?
You did pronounce it correctly. Yes, sir.
Awesome. And you are most popularly known as the voice of Dobby in My Hero Academia.
I would say that is probably the case these days. Yes, sir.
Yeah, My Hero Academia is just blowing up everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of become the hot thing these days, I suppose.
It's a good show.
It is a good show. It is a good show. Although, you know, I do tend to lean towards the villain developments a little bit more for my personal taste.
No, that was actually going to be one of my questions, whether you prefer to be the villain or the hero. So I'm glad you brought that up. We can just go ahead and start there. So what draws you to the villains?
It's not necessarily that I prefer to play the villains, but in this particular property, just my personal taste, I'm not as interested in the classroom shenanigans and the minutiae, the little stuff. When you get to those dark warehouses with all the bad guys, you know something's about to happen. You know something's up. So that's just what intrigues me as an audience member. And that's just my personal taste. As far as what I enjoy playing more, though, you know, I'm open, honestly. I enjoy it all. And I don't know, everything presents a unique challenge, villain or hero. And I've played my fair share of both, I suppose. Dobby's a bit on the fence, though, if you ask me. You know, we don't know quite what his motivations are just yet. And I suspect there's a little bit more to him than meets the eye.
Yeah, villain and hero, that's really just a matter of perspective a lot of times.
Indeed.
So, you know, I don't see too many characters that are evil just for the sake of being evil. They always have a motivation underneath them, like you said, but Dobby's hasn't really been solidified for us just yet.
There are a couple rumors out there, and I know nothing, I will say that, but there's some intriguing theories.
Yeah, the fans make up some good theories. That's for sure. Okay, I see you. I mean, you do a lot of voiceover. We know that you're voice of Dobby, but you also have some acting credentials under your belt, and you've done some voice work for video games. So between those three, are there a lot of differences between the three? And if so, can you tell us about that?
I mean, I always look at it like, you know, it's all acting. The basis for all of it is, I started as a kid in the theater and some film work, and it just kind of went from there. I kind of fell into voiceover, but it was the director who asked me to come and audition for him had seen me in a short film and he'd seen me in a play. So he had an idea of what I was capable of as an actor. It is a distinctly... I don't know. I guess it's like acting without all your weapons when you're in the booth. You know what I mean? When you're on stage, when you're on camera, you can use everything at your disposal. But when you're in the booth, it's just your voice. Now you're along with these visual images that indicate a lot of what's happening and give you a good idea as to how to play things. So it's a collaboration in that respect, I suppose. And that's true through all of them. It's just a little bit different. But it's all its own unique challenge. And I guess sometimes, especially with the emotional stuff, the voice acting can be a bit more challenging, to motivate yourself to get to that real point of, I like to, you know, feel what I'm trying to express to an extent. So that can be more challenging when it's just you inside a dark room with a microphone in front of you. But yeah, it's all cool. And I feel very fortunate to have managed to forge a career out of all of these, this stew of all of these different things. And frankly, living in the center of Texas, it's the only way I can make a living. Like I can't just pick one thing. I can't pick and choose. You know, I have the lines I won't cross. I won't put on a banana suit. But other than that, you know, you got to be open. I got to support a kid. I got to pay a mortgage. So, you know, I'll take it. You got work? I'll take it.
That's a good attitude. Speaking of, you said the stuff you would do. I've seen some other interviews and read some things where you've had a multitude of jobs prior to voice acting. How did you make that jump from like the cannery in Alaska or painting the side of buildings in New York to voice acting? Where did you make that leap?
Well, honestly, I lived in LA and I lived in New York before I was able to make a living exclusively as a performer. And that's the reason behind those jobs. When you're in New York City, you got to hustle. You got to hustle to make a living. And, you know, so I did all kinds of crazy stuff trying to pay that rent. And that rent was substantial. Honestly, you know, over 10 years ago, more than the mortgage is on my house now for a one-bedroom apartment in Manhattan. So, again, you take the work that you can get. And when you first move to a place like that, I don't know, you're meeting people at parties and telling them that you're looking for work. And, you know, you get pointed in all kinds of directions. And so, like you said, I ended up painting billboards on the side of buildings in the middle of winter. The Alaska trip, that was kind of a one-off. That was friends of mine who'd done it before and they invited me. But that was a pretty intriguing summer, I must admit. Challenging, mentally challenging. You know, spending 12 hours a day in a cannery with ear protection on and eye protection on, and you can't really hear anything but your own thoughts and machinery. Yeah, that's a challenge. I don't necessarily need to do that again. But I guess when I moved back to Austin from New York for my theater company to work on a play, the theater company got a little bit more popular gradually over that first couple of years I was back, and we were touring a lot, and that actually paid pretty well. And then at some point, somebody who'd seen one of these plays and seen a short film production, like I said, who happened to be a director for ADV Films, we ran into each other at a birthday party at a bar and shut down the bar together. And at the end of the night, he said, you know, I like your voice. I'm having some issues with one of my actors in this show I'm working on. It's an anime. Are you familiar with anime? And I was like, yeah, I know a little bit. He said, well, why don't you come in Monday and we'll see what you can do. And I ended up staying for the full day, and finished that contract. And yeah, I was able to do it. So very fortunate. It doesn't always work that way. I've recommended really talented performers, and they've stepped into the booth, and, you know, sometimes it's a bit of a, I don't know, you can be flummoxed. You know, it's a mental challenge. You got to, like I said, you got to prepare yourself to do your job, but without all of your tools. And it's a, yeah, it's a little bit strange. But about that time, when I did get that first job, which was one of the leads in a show called The Get Backers, yeah, it just kind of went from there. That studio actually ended up shutting down. ADV had some financial troubles, backed the wrong technology, I think was part of it. And they put all their money into a cable channel, and they basically went under. And the first thing to go was their satellite studio in Austin. And when that happened, that same director put together a reel of all of his favorite actors, and I happened to be fortunate enough to be on that reel. And he sent it up north to Funimation. And a week later, Colleen Klinkenbeard called me in, who's now directing My Hero. And yeah, I guess the rest is history. She cast me, and I've continued to work since.
That's good. And you mentioned your theater company. Were you referencing the Rude Mex?
Yes, I am. I'm talking about the Rude Mex.
Yeah, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
The Rude Mex is a really interesting company. We consider ourselves a fully collaborative, experimental. It's fully devised, and by that I mean we don't use anybody else's plays. We make our own plays. We honestly, famously, probably our most well-known production is a production called The Method Gun. And The Method Gun was, we joke about it in the play. It's kind of a meta thing, but The Method Gun is about a theater company that has a guru that employs all of these truly dangerous methods that are, you know, you risk your life to perform. And so we developed this play for 9 years. And we would show it on and off in that period in its various iterations as it kind of evolved. But yeah, it's a, that's been a really informative part of my life in terms of who I became as a performing artist. And honestly, work like that is helpful for me in all realms, including the voiceover. Yeah, it's a challenge to make your own work and put it in front of people and people pay to see it. That'll put a fire under you.
Yeah. So are the Rudemechs still traveling? And if so, where can people see the schedule to come and watch one of the plays?
Well, the Rudemechs do have a website. It's rudemechs.com. And that's R-U-D-E-M-E-C-H-S. I have not been as involved in the last few years of my life. I went through some personal change, had what amounts to a divorce and a forced house sale and all kinds of stuff that's, you know, probably too depressing to get into in an interview, but they're still going. I'm still invited. I've still got my parts, but I haven't been able to perform as much. I share custody of my 11-year-old son. So to take away all the nights in a week and have a sitter here just doesn't seem, it's not as ideal for my life as it is now, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, perfect sense.
But okay. But yeah, they're still going. They're still making work, and I think we were just invited to come to upstate New York and perform the Method Gun in the next few months. But I'm not sure exactly what's on the schedule. I haven't looked at the site in a while. But rudemechs.com will tell people how they can check them out.
If you had the option to be in any TV show, movie, or anime that you haven't been in. Series license, what would you pick? What is it that you want to do that you have not yet done?
Ah, man, I wow. Do they need a new Wolverine? I'm not sure.
Actually, I don't think they've cast him yet. So yeah,
I'd take that one. That'd be nice.
That's a career builder right there. I mean,
indeed.
Hugh Jackman's done it for how long?
Oh, wow. 20 years? I'm not even sure. That's probably longer than he's done it. Quite a while, though.
So you're picking that you'd want to be in Marvel as Wolverine?
I mean, you know, like I said, that question earlier, you know, based in Central Texas, I've become an actor who I'm not super picky. I don't want to do something that's bad, obviously. Nobody does. But, you know, any number of opportunities that presented themselves, I could find something that was intriguing to me in it, in you know, 9 times out of 10. And I find that to live that way is a better way to live, you know. It makes more sense, especially when you do something like I do for a living. It's not like I've got a job every day of the week. So when I get one, I try to take advantage and enjoy myself and bring home that paper.
So if the Marvel casting department is listening to this, you got a potential Wolverine right here.
That's right. I'm staying fit.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest part of the job. I know he was in the gym a lot.
He was in the gym a lot, and I've already got metal in my leg. Motorcycle accident back in the day. It's titanium. It's not adamantium, but
hey, close enough.
I've got a couple of implants already, so you know I'm already halfway there.
Okay, I've saved the hardest question here for the end. This one might take a little thought on your part. I usually ask this of everybody I interview, and I get differing opinions on this. So I'm interested to see where you're going to fall on this question. And the question is, cake or pie?
I'd say pie.
Pie. Ooh, very little hesitation. Pie.
Yeah,
pie.
You know, I'm not big on icing, or frosting. So there's that. And I'm also pretty keen on the fresh fruit. Give me a nice sour cherry pie. Dude, I'm all over that. I take that over just about any dessert, honestly.
Wow, so not just team pie, pie over every other dessert.
Well, no, I mean, it depends on what's available. But I'd say if you want me to make a choice between those two, not thinking about any of the other intricacies involved in the question, I'd say pie.
Well, I have to say you are in the majority. Most people are picking pie.
Really?
Yes, sir.
I'm surprised, man.
Yeah, as am I. So,
are you a cake man?
Yeah, actually, I am more. I like a good red velvet cake.
Oh, red velvet's awesome. You see, but most of it, I love cake too. But I always want it without that icing on it. Like, I feel like there's a tendency to over ice these things, to over frost.
So you're a muffin guy. That's basically cake without icing, right?
Well, I don't know. I like that. The standard grandma's vanilla sheet cake.
Oh.
Like that, and put a little thin layer of chocolate on that.
Are you starting to waver on your decision?
No, I'm not wavering. I'm not wavering, but I'm saying that, there are cakes that I would take. Now, you could put me in a position where you say coconut cream pie versus fresh red velvet cake with very little frosting, and I take the red velvet cake.
So it's situational.
It is situational. It's most definitely situational. But the blind choice, pie.
Yeah, well, like I said, that's the majority. You're firmly in the majority on that one.
Interesting. That does surprise me, I must admit.
Okay, well, Jason, I know you're a busy man. I don't want to keep you on too long. I wanted to thank you for taking the time out of your day to talk with us. And we are really looking forward to seeing you in El Paso Comic-Con in April.
Yeah, man, me too. I'm very much looking forward to coming.
Great. Then we will see you then.
Sounds good. You take care. Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Reef? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.